congregation please rise in our processional hymn of hymn number 652, Built on a Rock? Yes, we're singing all five verses. 652, Built on a Rock. Page 95 in the front of the hymnal, and you may also use the kneelers if you so desire. Page 95, Confession and Forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 654. We sing verses 1 and 2 only at this time. 654, the Church's One Foundation, verses 1 and 2 only. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of Christ, that we may gladly minister to all the world. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 through 6. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but when I call him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. God will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wildness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her thanksgiving and the voice of the song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for teaching will go out from me, and my Jesus for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlines wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm of the day is Psalm 138. You will read the bolded portion. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down towards your holy temple.
And give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have excelled your name and your word above everything.
On the day I called, you answered me.
You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord.
For they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, you regard the lowly.
But the haughty you preserve from far away.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble,
you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies.
You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord's purpose will be fulfilled for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
Do not abandon the work of your hands, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading of the day is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. I appeal to, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptance to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measures of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace of God given to us: prosperity and proposition to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in the exploration, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in the cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel for today, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Let us pray this time in preparation for the sermon. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. It's a simple question. Who do people say that you are? If we had time and all morning long and wouldn't be late for coffee hour, I'd make you all answer that question. But there are probably many answers to that question. Who do people say you are? As a child, you're the son or the daughter. For the first 18 years of my life, I was known as Pastor Beek's son. I went to college and all of a sudden I became John, and it was a revelation. It's like, oh, that's who I am. Because for everyone in my growing up years, 18 years long, I was Pastor Beek's son. My mother was Pastor Beek's wife. My sister was Pastor Beek's daughter. Who do people say that you are? As an adolescent, are you a brother or a sister? As a young adult, a boyfriend or girlfriend? As an engaged person, a fiancé, I've got six. Six fiancés, two by twos, right? Noah's Ark, coming up. At a wedding, you're either the bride or the groom. I always ask the bride and the groom who they are in the wedding, and they look like deer in headlights to me, because some of them have never said that word out loud, groom or bride. We got three of those coming up. Did you say that? Yeah. As a parent, you're called mom or dad, or any other way you want to call them. Daddy, mommy, pa, ma. In college, I called my mother, ma. Ma, I came home from college, hi, ma. And she hated it. And I kept calling her that because she hated it, you know. Yay, college. As a grandparent, well, as a relative, you can be called uncle or aunt, cousin, niece, nephew, great uncle, great aunt. As a grandparent, grandpa or grandma is what we use, but there are many different names for the grandparents. And then you can be called friend. Or if we had time, and I've done this in Bible study, tell me your nickname. Yeah. Especially if you can say it in front of women and children. Okay. What is your nickname? Who do people say you are? We are called many names in our lifetime, you and I, depending what age and what time of the life we are in. I've never been a fiancé. I've never been a boyfriend or a groom or a dad or a grandpa or a great-grandpa. Yeah, I'm old enough to be that. Because these titles or names not only identify you, but they identify the one who's speaking of you. Right? This is my grandma. the 6-year-old boy says proudly. This is my sister. I want you to meet her. This is my cousin. Yeah, I want you to meet her. You're identifying the person, not only names them, but names you also. The bride usually said that she was a bride many times in her engagement, but the groom never said he was a groom until rehearsal night. You're not only identified yourself, but the people speaking of you identify themselves also. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" It's a title. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they answered rightfully so what the popular thought was. John the Baptist, one of the great last prophets in the kingdom of God. Who was the Son of Man? Elijah, the one we've been waiting for to come back and usher in the Messiah, the Son of God. To this day, Orthodox Jewish people at Passover have a place setting at their table that's for Elijah if he comes in the door. They leave the front door open 12 inches so that he has no trouble with the lock or the latch. They didn't have those back, you know, thousands of years ago. And they hope Elijah will come to their house and announce the Messiah. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Jeremiah, or one of the great prophets. And they were right with all their answers. So then Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And if we had enough time, and wouldn't be late for coffee, all right, I'd ask you the same question. Who do you say Jesus is? How do you identify Jesus? Because that says more about you as well as it says about him. Lord, Savior, Healer, Miracle Worker, the Good Shepherd, Son of God. There's all kinds of titles for Jesus. Jesus, the son of Joseph, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, even the son of Mary in the Gospels, we find that, which is unheard of. I was never Gene Beek's son. I was always Pastor Beek's son, because it was a male-dominated time in the 50s and the 60s. Who do you say that Jesus is? That says more about you than it does about Jesus. We've got Peter's great confession here, and next week is the sequel to this sermon. Don't miss it. It's going to be a doozy. Okay, I'm already working on it. Because this week we've got Peter's great confession. Next week we've got the sequel of what happened this week. Peter's great confession is, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You are the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ whom we've been waiting for all these hundreds and hundreds of years. You are the Son of God. All of you men are sons of God, small s. All of you women are daughters of God, small d. But Jesus is the, capital T, capital S, the Son of God. We say that in our creeds. The only begotten Son, true God and true man. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Peter says. And then Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church." Simon Bar-Jonah was Peter's real given name. Simon Bar, B-A-R, is Hebrew for the son of. So Simon, the son of Jonah. His dad's name was Jonah. I would have been John Bar Don. John, the son of Don. But Jesus gave him a nickname. And in the 1970s, when Sylvester Stallone did his very first movie that he wrote, Rocky, I love this. Because Jesus calls Peter Bar-Jonah, Rocky. You are Rocky, and on my church I will build. And so the question theologically is, what rock does Jesus build the church on? This man? Wait till next week. Jesus calls him Satan in the gospel next week. You can look ahead if you want to. Teaser. Yeah? Today he gives a great confession, along with Mary Magdalene, like, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." Next week Jesus will say, "You're Satan."
Go home and read the chapter.
I think the rock that Jesus is building his church on is not only Peter the man. We in the Christian church, along with the Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, believe that, okay? The papacy, the apostolic succession from the Petrine line, okay? We're all children of Peter. Or maybe it's Peter's identifying who Jesus is, okay? Peter names Jesus and identifies him, the Messiah, the Son of God. Or maybe it's Peter's confession, pointing himself, finger back at himself. You are the Messiah. I am simply a disciple. I'm a follower of you, the Christ. Actually, the church, we as Protestants say it's all three. It's all three. The man, Peter, sinful as he is next week, being called Satan by Jesus, even after the great confession this week. The identifying who Jesus really is, and then the confession of Peter. But what's interesting is at the end of our gospel today, right? Jesus once again says, but don't tell anybody. You get it. You get it. 100%. Red star. First week in school. Yay. You get it, Peter. Simon, son of Jonah. But don't tell anybody. Because they want Jesus to be a rock star. I used to talk about Frank Sinatra, Elvis, then even Justin Bieber, but even that's too old now. I tried to be current, right? Justin Bieber, rock star. Justin Timberlake, any of you remember him? They wanted Jesus to be a rock star. They wanted Jesus to be a healer, a miracle worker. They wanted to have Jesus be Shazam. And that said more about them than it did about who Jesus is. It identified the people identifying him. And Jesus didn't want to be identified that way. Yes, he was a healer. Yes, he was a preacher. Yes, he was a miracle worker. But even more than that, he stretched out his arms and he died for you and me and all of them. And until that event happened, until the cross happened, he said, don't tell anybody about me. You get it. I am the Son of God. God on earth, Emmanuel, God with us. I am the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. But don't tell anyone because they're not going to get it. Not to get political here, you know, I don't do that in the pulpit, but I heard on the news today, Donald Trump has made $7 million since Tuesday on his photograph, the mugshot. He's made, and it blows my mind. It blows my mind. $7 million. I'm going to get a mugshot. I'm going to go down to the sheriff's department and raise some money for St. John's, you know? Not that anybody would buy my mug or my t-shirt or anything, pun intended. Since Tuesday, $7 million. And that came from the Trump campaign. That's not some MSNBC or, you know, liberal Democrat trying to throw him under the bus. The Trump campaign said, you need $7 million. Jesus doesn't want that kind of notoriety. It was a good thing they had t-shirts and mugs and magnets for the refrigerator. He said, don't tell anybody who I am until after the event, until after I die for the world, after I am the suffering servant, after I sacrifice my life. He didn't have to die. He was like Adam and Eve before they fell. He could have lived forever. We could still have Jesus walking around on earth. There was no reason for him to die because he did no wrong. He didn't sin. Why did he die? He died for you and me. And that says volumes about who he is. After the death, after Golgotha, after the empty tomb, when they see him again, resurrected body in Messiah, then you can spread the good news. Then you go out to all the world. Matthew's gospel, we're in the Matthew year. Go ye therefore, Old King James Version. Go ye therefore and baptize all nations, plural, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Reverse psychology though. When
God says, go and tell everybody. Everybody shuts up. They don't say a word. We won't share that with anybody, especially the people across the breakfast table from us. Jesus connects the church on which will be built on top of Peter's identifying Jesus, confessing Jesus, and on Peter himself. Jesus connects the church with the kingdom of God. And that's important in Matthew's gospel, because we always talk about the kingdom of God is like, go home and read chapters 5, 6, and 7, that great long sermon of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, 7. The kingdom of God is like, God is like. And so the church is connected to God. It's not that the church announces the kingdom is going to come or prepares people for the day of the kingdom's coming, the rapture, or the final days, or whatever the, you know, 1995, now they're like 3995 books are that say, it's coming. Well, yeah, of course it's coming. We know that. We just don't know when. The church doesn't announce the kingdom. The church doesn't prepare people for the kingdom. Jesus gives the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven and grants binding and loosing. Jesus creates the church as the epicenter for the Father's answers to Jesus' prayer. Go home and read chapters 5, 6, and 7. I think it's in chapter 6, prove me wrong. We've got the disciples saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And what is the prayer that we say every Sunday? Our Father, who art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer. This is God's answer. The church, you guys, sons and daughters, are the answer to God, to Jesus' prayer. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. It's not some far-off event. It's happening now. And you're the epicenter of it now as the church. You are the ones who identify who God and Jesus are in love, forgiveness, caring, accepting, and the rest. It's not that we are just preparing for something. It's not that we are just announcing something. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. All the soapbox preachers, right? 100 years ago, on their soapbox in the middle of the town square, as the horses were going by in the buggies. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. One of my favorite movies, Paint Your Wagon. Google that one. Paint Your Wagon. It's one of the best movies in the world. It's a musical. But at the end, the preacher's out on the town square. Repent! And everyone gets sucked down to Hades, you know? The mine shafts all collapse and they all get sucked down into hell, which is just a mud pit. We're not just announcing the kingdom. We're not just preparing for the kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come now, Lord. Thy will be done now, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. They should have remembered the name that was at the beginning of Matthew's gospel. You remember the name from Christmas that the angels gave Jesus, the Son of God? It starts with an E. Ring a bell? Emmanuel. Who are you? Who do people say that you are? You are Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Not only in the world to come, not before, but now. God is with us now. And so that's the great miracle of this chapter. And of this portion of the chapter, is that yes, Peter gives this great confession, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, on you I will build my church. You, Rocky. You're identifying me, you're confessing me, and on you as a person. But the greatest gift is that God is with us now. God's kingdom is here now. God's kingdom has come now because of you. Disciples and students that you are, the first week of school. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that you are? What's your nickname? How does that define you? Amen. I made her wait. I was 3 years old when we moved from one church to the second church my dad. My dad was at three churches his whole life. When we moved the second one, I was 3 years old. I remember the women's voices, the sopranos singing this hymn. I told Ann that this morning. She was practicing and I was praying. And I couldn't help but I heard Velma's voice, Velma Bierman. We adopted her as an aunt because they weren't aunts and uncles. And they weren't parents, moms and dads. They had no children. They were about 10 years older than my mom and dad. So when my sister and I were born, they adopted us. They were our aunt and our uncle. We only had one real aunt and uncle. My mother had one sister. That was it. My dad was an only child. He had no brothers and sisters. But I remember Velma Bierman's voice, high soprano vibrato. I'll never forget it. And so as she was practicing this hymn, I thought, oh, Aunt Velma, she has died a number of years ago at the age of 95. But for all of my life, until just a number of years ago, she was my aunt. And I remember her singing this. So Rock of Ages, it's a good hymn. Has to do with all the lessons. And we will follow it as she plays it. Cool. Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal, and for the prayers of the church. Page 105, the Confession of Faith. Izzy Zavison, you make me smile. Rock of Ages was that classic call, altar call song during the Reformation. Yeah, right. During, what's the word I want? Revival ministries. Rock of Ages was that call to the altar call, right? And it was wonderful because Izzy, as we started singing that song, got up and started coming. She walked back out. It was like, she needed a Kleenex. Good for you. Sanitation is a good thing. But you make me smile. It's so Lutheran. There's no altar call. We're not good Baptists, you know? Yeah, so anyway. Confession of Faith, page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and in hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remembering our prayers, our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove, we pray also for our St. John Scholarship Fund during this whole month of August. We pray for all those students attending colleges, universities, vo-tech schools, and we now pray for the American Falls and Aberdeen school systems. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan. We pray for people who have lost property and lives due to the wildfires. Canada, Medical Lake, Washington, I'll speak of that in a minute, outside of Spokane, Washington, and Maui, Hawaii, especially Lahaina. 115 deaths have kind of held it at that place. They're still looking for 850 missing bodies, and they're getting to the point where they're going to discontinue looking. I don't know how many of you get the Idaho State Journal. I do whenever it's printed. It used to be daily. There was an article this week in there about a woman who was a resident of Medical Lake, Washington, outside of Spokane. A week ago Friday, it burned down the whole city. She was from Lahaina, Maui. Yeah. 10 days apart, she lost homes in both Maui and in Washington, and it was a devastating article in the paper. So remember these people in our prayers. We remember all firefighters, law enforcement officers, and EMTs, and first responders of crises. And then we certainly pray for all people in the fields due to the harvest season. On and off again. Bless you for moisture, but help us out. And then a prayer of thanksgiving and joy and celebration. Remember in our prayers, the grandmother. How do we title people? Grandmother, Laverne Putnam. She's a new grandmother of Cielo, who was born on Thursday to Stephen and Claudia Putnam, her son and daughter-in-law. It's their third child, and so we remember them in our prayers. She was born 6 weeks premature, 5 pounds, 7 ounces, something like that. She's in the NICU, but she's nursing and doing well. Mom's doing well. I don't know how Dad's doing, bless his heart. Probably taking care of two kids on his own. So remember them in our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God of Sarah and Abraham, inspire your church to pursue righteousness and faithfulness in its ministry. Let us share your steadfast love and mercy, which unites us as the body of Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You cherish your creation from the beginning of time. Protect fragile ecosystems. Send favorable weather. Supply food and water to nourish creatures great and small. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the field. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, wildfires, or flooding. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas. Promote peace across the world and in our towns and in our neighborhoods. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name before you in our own hearts and minds. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all of the ministries we are faithfully a part of. We pray for all students of colleges, universities, vo-tech schools.
We pray for the students, teachers, staff, kitchen crew, and bus drivers in the schools here in our area. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Tony Bauer, Rayma Cates, Angela Quinn, Tyler Walker, Nicholas Nelson, Brady Kendall, Dennis Roth, and to Dan New. Happy anniversary to Jim and Megan Reed and Doug and Jenny Ruff. It says, are there any announcements? And I feel like there probably is.
Good morning. Tomorrow is Daily Bread from 5:30 to 6:30. It is being sponsored by Powerhouse Christian, and we are going to be having assorted soups. So please join us. Please bring a friend. If you can't join us, tell a friend, and let's try and get some new people to enjoy what we are, the great opportunity that we have. So, and if you would like to volunteer, please let me know. Thank you.
I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possession. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection has opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing prepared for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymnal. blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Hymn 14, other songbook, Bind Us Together, Lord.